call this meeting of the Planning Commission Tuesday, February 13th, 2018, to order. Cell phones, we just ask everybody to turn off your cell phone while you're here, just as a matter of courtesy. Approval of the minutes from the December the 12th, 2017 work session and regular meeting. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any comments, objections? I will abstain from that because I was not here. All in favor of approving the minutes, right hand. Opposed, like sign. Okay, unanimous. New business. Any old business? Not on the agenda. New business. We have got to elect officers tonight. We have that duty. This is the meeting that we do that. I think we normally do it in January, but we got a little messed up this year, so we're going to do it. Going to do it tonight. Nominations for president.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I would like to nominate Jack Hunter to serve as interim chairman until such time as we may end up voting again.
Second. Is there a second?
Second.
Any other nominations? All right. All in favor of that motion, raise your hand. Opposed. Removed. Okay. Vice Chairman.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to make a motion that we have Mr. Jason Rabin as our Vice President.
Second.
Any other nominations? Okay. We'll vote on that motion. All in favor? Opposed?
All right. Secretary. Yeah.
Secretary.
Yep.
That's you, isn't it?
Typically.
All right. To make a motion for somebody for secretary.
Mr. Chairman, since we typically have the planning director as the chairman of the meetings, I move that we continue to do so, and that would be Mr. Weinblatt.
That would be secretary.
Secretary.
Second. All right. All in favor? Opposed? Okay. Okay, that's it. New slate of officers. Now, on agenda item 3B, application number 18-20010, request for annexation, single-family residential property, and to zone that property RS-15. It's on 1517 Pine Log Road by Mr. Larry Curry. Anybody speak in favor of this application?
Request for annexation.
Anybody opposed? We have a motion. Anybody make a motion? Call for a motion.
Mr. Chairman, on application 18-20010, an annexation request on tax parcel 106-13-05-005, an applicant Larry Curry, his application and proposed zoning of RS-15, I'd make a motion and we recommend the council to approve this.
All in favor? Raise right hand. Opposed, like sign. Good. Carried. Application is approved. 3C, application number DES-18-010001, request for designation of the Hotel Aiken to the Aiken Historic Register by the Historic Hospitality LLC, representing Shaw Investments LLC. Speak in favor of this application. Anyone? Anybody opposed? Do you have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, on application, the applicant Historic Hospitality LLC, Shaw Investments LLC at 235 Richland Avenue, tax parcel 121-21-09-002, would recommend that we make a motion to council that we would accept this application as written.
Second. Anybody second?
Second.
Discussion? Okay, all in favor? Right hand. Opposed? Like sign? Okay, motion approved unanimously. 3D, application number 18-6003-0003, request for rezoning from industrial to general business, 254 Buford Street Northeast. Anybody want to speak in favor of this application? Anybody opposed? Speak now. Okay, do we have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, reference to application number 18-60003, rezone request for tax parcel number 121-07-06-001, current zoning industrial, proposed zoning general business. I move that we carry this to council for recommendation, and it is consistent with the comprehensive plan.
Good. Second. Any questions? Any discussion? All in favor? Right hand. Opposed? Okay. Approved unanimously. Okay. 3E, application number 18-40004, request for variance side yard setback for a minor subdivision, 215 Grace Avenue Southeast by William and Chalamet Moore. Speaking in favor of the application, anyone? Mr. Tucker.
Mr. Interim Chairman, congratulations.
Yes, thank you.
Election. My name is Bill Tucker. I'm the Home Bear Law Firm in Aiken. I'm here on behalf of the property owners, Mr. and Mrs. William W. Moore. And, of course, this is our second appearance after a meeting in December on an earlier version of an application which has been significantly modified. First, I want to point out, and I think it was covered in the work session, but I'd like to put it on the record, and that is why there is an acreage variance that allowed us to come back to you with three parcels that all meet the minimum 3 acres. At the time of the December meeting, there was an earlier version of the survey that was prepared by Todd Hass of Hass and Hildebrand that showed a total acreage of the property of 8.974 acres is what I believe it was, not quite 9 acres. And, of course, at that time we were submitting a proposal for 4 parcels, including 2 that were extremely non-conforming, which I think was the basis of its rejection by those of you who were present at that meeting. Subsequent to the December meeting, Mr. Hass consulted with the City Engineering Department and also with several recorded surveys in the county records and determined that the right-of-way, the correct right-of-way for Magnolia Street is not 40 feet, it's 30 feet. Which gained an extra 5 feet on the Moore side, the west side of Magnolia Street, and allowed the acreage to be recomputed to 9.0035. Based upon that, we asked Mr. Hildebrand and Mr. Hass to propose or come up with a subdivision where each of the 3 parcels would comply with the RSS zoning designation of a minimum of 3 acres, and he has achieved that with the proposal that you have before you. And I was pleased to hear in your work session that you agree, along with the planning director, Mr. Bland, that really this is not an issue anymore, that we're really here just on the minor variance setback request that is entailed by the location of one of the proposed boundary lines between the main house parcel and the stable parcel. So what we're talking about tonight, if you can refer to your survey, and I don't know whether there is a plat that shows that, we are looking at the setback variance that would exist if and when the property is subdivided. And this would be going between a small brick building that's designated on the plat as an office and the...
You can point it out if you want to.
All right.
Bill, point it out.
All right. Looking at the office and this wing of the very large stable, which is at the essence of the building, so it's connected by a walkway or pathway, porch. And in an earlier version of that, the line was closer to the stable. The distance is about 15 feet between the side of the office building and the end of the stable. And the request before you tonight is for a setback variance of about 2.6 feet, less than the 3 feet that I normally understand would be permitted to be approved administratively, but I understand that we have to come before the commission to have that approval. I'm a graphic kind of guy, and so just to show you what we're talking about that distance between my two arms is the variance request between what would be authorized under the zoning regulations and what we're seeking tonight. Actually, it's a better plan than what it was before because, it was skewed toward the stable and away from the office, and it bisected a set of concrete steps that goes from the terrace in front of the stables down to the driveway and a grassy area. And so by its placement now, where it evenly splits it to 7.42 feet on either side of the line to the walls of the buildings, we have eliminated that bifurcation where the steps are all on the stable parcel of the property. As is correctly pointed out to you in your packet, we've got to meet the five criteria for you to approve this variance setback request, and I think we succeed on all points. First of all, it's not detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare. The two buildings have coexisted for at least 80 years. These buildings all were constructed by the Grace family back in the late 20s, early 30s. I don't know the exact date of those buildings, but they've got to have been there for approximately 80 years. And so there's no difference in that. Secondly, the variance is based upon a particular size, shape, or topography of the property. The proposed line makes the most sense in terms of the walls, in terms of the driveways, and in terms of the buildings. There is another version of this, a subdivision that none of us want to use, that would create three long, narrow parcels, which don't make any sense at all, but it wouldn't require a variance request. And we just don't want to go there. And so we think it's worth requesting the variance request of this body to make it, because it makes more sense. It follows the natural topography, the buildings, the lovely gardens that have been pointed out, and makes that able to be maintained just the way it is. The third criteria, strict compliance, would propose a hardship. It would, and the buildings would either, as I think it was pointed out in the work session by Ms. DeBrule, would have to be demolished to comply with the setback, and nobody wants that. We want to preserve the status quo and preserve these historic buildings. I think, it's pretty obvious no other ordinance is affected by the granting of the variance. There is no other issue at stake here in play. And finally, it's not being sought solely to alleviate a financial hardship. There is no current plan to sell this property. There is no current offer. There is no current conversation with anybody about purchasing any portion of the property. The underlying basis for this, as those of you who are present in the December meeting heard from Mr. and Mrs. Moore, they've owned this property since they purchased it from Andy Williams in 1985. They've been the stewards of this property for over 32 years now, and they've, of course, done a great deal of renovation and restoration to keep it that way and to make it the way that it is now. Our goal here is to preserve the status quo in a creative way so that there is a perpetuation of this very historic property. The one thing I need to point out to you, and you need to know, and I think it's put as a contingency in your
proposed resolutions is that if you do grant this, we are willing and we'd want you to make a condition as for the approval of a shared driveway easement that would be created in an instrument of restrictive covenants that would be imposed prior to any conveyance of any portion of this 9-acre parcel of property.
Would you repeat that, please?
Sure. That we are agreeing that we would want you to make a condition or a contingency of creation of a shared driveway easement in the existing gravel driveway that comes off of Grace Avenue and would serve both the carriage house property and the stable parcel of property. It's not shown on the current survey. I don't know why Mr. Hass keeps leaving it off, but it exists. It's been there. It would continue to be there and would be able to serve both the stable and the carriage house parcels. I think you can see that from the aerial map. Where it, right up the under the capital G of Grace is where the entrance is off of Grace Avenue onto the property, and it meanders down, comes along the west side of the big stables down into the area where the polo barn and the current swimming pool is. I apologize for my voice. I'm dealing with the winter crud, and I'm afraid I'm losing it quickly. And some people in the audience might enjoy me losing my voice. But finally, I want you to be aware of that I pointed out at the December meeting that the Moores were in conversation with the Aiken Land Conservancy over the submission of the property to a conservation easement, which should give all of you on the commission further assurance of their sincerity as far as wanting to preserve this property and keep the historic integrity of the property. I'm pleased to report that since the December meeting, within the last week, there is a signed letter of understanding that at least initiates the beginnings of a formal agreement that will result in the ultimate creation and imposition and recording of a conservation easement that will be imposed upon the total property. That will be another layer of protection for the structures, for the gardens, and for the property as you see it today. So I know you're going to hear from some other people that don't share our enthusiasm for the proposal, but I would like to also to have the opportunity to come back and speak to you again at the end of the other comments. But basically, it's very simple. We're here tonight to talk about a 2.6-foot variance in the required setbacks between two very historic buildings on the property. And I'd be glad to answer any questions that the commissioners have at this time.
The zoning requirement, as I understand it, would allow a 10-foot.
10-foot?
The 10-foot is what is called for by the regs.
And you've got 7.4.
And you've got 7.4.
Right.
And those buildings have...
So the variance is...
It is not much. And those buildings have been there a long time.
I've got to say 80-plus years. I don't think anybody would argue with that.
So obviously, Billy, it would be a financial hardship, but the key, but our five criteria, the fifth criteria is, it is not solely to alleviate a financial hardship. Obviously, if you had to tear down a building, it's a financial hardship, but it is not solely for that purpose, and that is well within our guidelines there.
Correct.
I think.
Correct.
Questions? Anybody?
I think the big issue in December was the two parcels that were extremely non-conforming, and we've eliminated that.
Yes, I mean, and you've gone to the initial proposal. Although I wasn't here, I've read the notes and minutes. Called were parcels under 3 acres,
right.
Which. You know, that was a much more significant change to the current zoning and variance than this is.
And this setback variance was actually part of the proposal that was submitted in December, but I think it kind of got lost in the shuffle of the concern over the non-conforming parcels, acreage parcels, and also the number of horses that would be allowed on those parcels. And so it didn't really even surface as an issue, but now that's about all we have left to talk about.
What I would like to do, if you, and I think it would be a good thing to do, is have this Haas Hildebrand redraw this plat and present it to the planning department, showing the driveway and of course your client owns all of the property, so it's at this point very simple and easy for him to do easements and in perpetuity handling all that stuff.
Right.
So this is the time to do it.
Yeah. My suggestion would be that we wouldn't actually impose the easement, because with the merger of title, there's no reason to have an easement until you actually have multiple owners in the property.
Correct. But at least we would have a plat down here showing it.
I think having it on the, and it would be easy for him to plat the driveway onto the existing parcel. So if you want to make that as an additional contingency that be added, we certainly could do that.
Yeah.
And you could say future shared driveway or something like that on the plat.
Okay.
That would be fine.
Okay. Comments? Anybody questions? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
May see you again.
Anybody else want to speak in favor of, I'm assuming that Mr. Tucker speaking in for his clients, and that would handle them. All right, in opposition, people want to speak in opposition. Now's your chance. Yes, ma'am.
Jenny Stoker, 331 Kershaw Street, Southeast, and I just have a couple of questions, and that might clarify my comments a little bit. How wide actually is the driveway? It's not on the plat, so how many feet wide is the driveway?
I don't know.
So how are they going to attach that to the...
A normal driveway would be at least 12 to 15, but I don't know.
It's at least driveway. It probably varies in width, but obviously if there was a sale of a parcel, it would probably be formalized at a certain width.
It's pretty wide. Pretty wide. I like that.
Mr. Chair, I think I can clarify this. We public safety looked at the driveway and said that it met the requirements. What public safety would ask for is at least a 20-foot wide easement to be able to get a truck back there, as well as a height clearance. I believe they stated 13.5 feet at a minimum height clearance. So those would be the two requirements. Their initial assessment of that is that the current driveway accommodates that. Also, it would have to be an all-weather surface. It wouldn't necessarily have to be paved, but an all-weather surface, which is what is currently on site.
So that meets the fire truck?
Correct.
Okay. How many horses? I lose track on with all the many things written in this application. Do they actually state, or what's the city ruling in RSS for how many horses would be allowed on a 3-acre lot? Is it prescribed?
Mr. Chair, yeah, it is not prescribed. The RSS district does not specify the maximum number of horses you can have on a property. It defers to performance standards, so if they fail to meet performance standards regarding refuse removal, things like that, then it would be in violation of the ordinance
It could be significantly more than are there.
Could be now. Significantly more on any piece.
Right. I'm curious about the, I guess it's the lot that's just inside the gate with the gatehouse. It's currently several rental properties. The way the ordinance is written, I believe, is that the property has to be owner-occupied in order for it to be other properties rented. So does that mean that once it's subdivided, unless it's sold, they won't be able to rent any of those properties?
Mr. Chairman, yeah, correct. The ordinance states that accessory units, yeah, may be rented out. It says it has to be owner-occupied, and it allows the owner to the ability to live in a primary residence or at an accessory residence.
So that translates to those, if they don't live in that lot, that those will not be able to be rental properties, is that correct?
The way I see it, at least one unit has to be owner-occupied.
The owner has to be somewhere on there.
Correct.
The way I see the property divided, there are two opportunities for a main house in that front lot. The main house could be the existing laundry gatehouse, right? The existing laundry house or the Le Petit apartment. which has could be turned into a main house. So there are two opportunities. If someone bought that front lot on Grace Avenue, they would obviously live in one of those houses, and therefore it would be up to that person whether or not they wanted to continue renting those properties.
But if it's subdivided, the Moores wouldn't be able to continue renting it unless they moved into one of those houses?
No, they still own it until they sell it.
If it's subdivided into a different... Well, is it considered then a different property if it's two different lots and they don't live on that lot? I'm just asking. I don't know.
It's still their property.
It's still their property.
But if they don't live on it.
But it's still their property.
It's still their property.
Her question is,
if once we do this,
and it's
then they're going to subdivide it, but they're going to be the owner of all of it.
Right.
The way I understand it. Now, if they were to sell the gatehouse piece, somebody would have to live on the gatehouse piece other than them.
Gotcha.
And still rent it.
But it's.
I wouldn't expect that the plat would be filed for record as a subdivision plat until there was a beginning, you know, at least one sale.
Until there was a sale.
Until then, it's still a continuous 9-acre parcel.
Yeah, that's.
Is that right?
If you don't file the plat, it's right. That's right.
That's correct.
So it's divided, but not divided. But it's approved, but it's not divided until they file the
plat.
So it's not this approval that changes it. It's
all
there.
We're doing is we're not doing anything except looking at that 7.42 feet tonight.
Well, I went to the work session and I was, got the same feeling as I did last time, which was that, by the comments that some of you have already decided what you're going to do, and it is sort of, it is a different application. It's, 9 acres divided by three. There's a simple variance, but I think that. There you have an opportunity that you might not have fully considered, and that would be, and if you can look past all the information in the application, which really has no bearing on the application, and think about the conditions. When you grant a variance, you are then able to attach what conditions you want to that property. And the two conditions that are attached, which seem sort of like placeholders that the planning department wrote for you, really don't have much, they're not, it's just that there would be a driveway. You could pretty well guess that there would need to be a driveway. But I think you have the opportunity to think about what could happen to that property in the future, and the fact that you have the opportunity to ask them to do a couple more things. One might be that you ask them to agree to that the wall will not change, that the wall will stay, will always have a wall similar, that there are no more gate openings. They say that there won't be, but if they sell those lots and if there's no condition that there can't be, there's nothing to stop the next owner from requesting another gate opening and getting it. And more gate openings on Grace Avenue would be a problem, I believe, as somebody who uses that and is familiar with that area. You are giving, you might want to ask that any further building permits on those three lots are conforming and not non-conforming, because that one lot that's now going to have five houses and it's going to have by right they can build a stable, you should at least consider requesting that any building permits don't require any further variances.
Not because to you. If I'm not mistaken, isn't this under the, they would have to have. Yeah, because it's under the historical horse district.
Well, just to get you out, Mr. Chair, so the staff isn't allowed to administrate or approve anything that isn't consistent with the code. So any legal nonconformities that carry forth can continue. Staff cannot administratively approve something that would extend or exacerbate a legal nonconformity or create a new condition that is a nonconformity. So it would have to go through a variance process.
Right. But I'm sure you wouldn't, but could you attach a condition that said that they wouldn't, that building permits would comply and not require variances?
I think we'd have a hard time looking off into the future and doing that. It's just like if someone came and said,
exactly,
hey, I want an exit on the Whiskey Road, I think we'd have to deal with it at that particular time. I just don't see that. I'll already be speaking to you, Mr. Logan. I apologize. I would think, personally, it would be very difficult. We don't have a magic ball. I can't see the future. And we'd have to deal with each one individually as they would come if and when the property sold and if the new owner wanted to do a new entrance or whatever.
Right.
I think it would be difficult for us to try to address.
Yeah, I get that no crystal ball thing. I wish I had one, too.
I was just going to ask if we could have Mr. Tucker address that again with the conservancy, because it's my understanding if they're under the umbrella of that conservancy that many of these issues that she's concerned about will be addressed.
I think, first of all, the design review board would have to enter into anything that Jenny's contemplating as far as any non-conforming thing, but I think there's... The land conservancy, the conservation easement, is going to also impose certain restrictions on the way things are now, and the walls are part of that.
Mm-hmm.
There's no intention to change anything. That's why there'd be the shared driveway entrance from Grace Avenue, is so that those two parcels would be served by the same entrance. The main house parcel is served by the main entrance facing Magnolia Street. There is no reason to have another entrance anywhere, and that's certainly not the contemplation. They spent a lot of money putting up the Great Wall 30 years ago, and I don't think they have any intention.
Then any request would have to go through the whole scenario. I mean, certainly they're not going to allow anybody to go out on Whiskey. I don't think they would allow anybody to open on Grace.
I don't think they
think public safety.
I don't see it happening.
Yeah.
But I think the design review board and the conservation easement are going to allay.
Right. Thank you. That answered my question.
I guess another concern would be that there really is no assurance that the conservation easement will be done. They have a letter of understanding, but that. If you approve this as it is, you're without the easement in place, there's no assurance that there's going to be an easement.
That's correct.
There's no insurance that they'll... That's that crystal ball thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's correct.
There's no assurance that...
But if
we'll be here tomorrow. there's no assurance, but they're taking all the necessary and proper steps.
What if... would you consider asking that they get the conservation easement in place before?
No, because we're not dealing with anything except the 7.42-foot setback tonight.
You can't. But what I'm saying is, you can add conditions that you want to. You can add things that are.
Yes, we could.
Yeah,
we could. But I guess I'm with Susan. I don't think that's relevant either, really, to our decision. That's not a relevant issue to our decision.
I think this is, you're setting precedent here for the horse district, and I certainly agree if they have 9 acres, they can divide it into 3 parcels, but I'd like to think that, thought was given to conditions that mean a little something. I think, and I know you're not the BZA and the conditions are not the same, and that therein lies the problem. But you can make up the difference by being a little bit thoughtful and tough yourselves. You don't have to it's not a done deal.
No, it's not.
No. So, thank you.
Yes.
I
why those lights keep blinking? Did you notice that, Ryan?
Yeah. Is that an electrical? Is this place going to blow up here?
They're on a motion sensor.
Good evening. My name is Elizabeth Carey. I live at 1114 South Boundary Avenue, as well as having a farm out on Chinebell Church Road. And I may not get a chance to ask this if you all make this decision tonight, so I'm going to step up and ask it. And I am sort of second generation Aiken, and horses, of course, bring so many people to Aiken. And I think the integrity of what exists right now, the Horse District of Aiken, South Carolina, which draws in so much money to Aiken every winter. It brings people down to buy properties. If this starts being subdivided, as I see, 3-acre lots is allowable, I think that what we have here is going to be diminished eventually. So I have a question for the Moores, especially now that the Land Conservancy is a potential addition to you, which I understand. I own a 120-acre farm, which I bought within the last 7 years, which I've totally renovated, and I own a home on...
Please, you need to talk to us.
Sorry.
Or speak loud enough so we can hear you anyway.
I own a home on South Boundary Avenue as well as a 120-acre farm, which I bought in the last 7 years. I've totally renovated it. One of the Moore's premises for needing to subdivide was that there are not enough people coming to Aiken who will and can take a property, renovate it, and make it possible for the history to carry on. So within this room right now, forgive me for turning, I'll turn right back to you. There is a lady in the 1, 2, 3, 4th row, as well as two gentlemen, who have both taken over properties in the last number of years, totally renovated them, and made them beautiful and sustaining for generations, decades beyond, hundreds of years perhaps. So the premise that the Moores need to subdivide in order to sell it, I do not believe is true. So if they are bringing in money that's going to come from the Land Conservancy, I myself have looked at it. I realize the problems with saying ahead of time, because if they sell to three different people and those people won't agree that they won't build such and such down the road, they can't get the Land Conservancy. It has to be a predetermined plan of action that the Land Conservancy okays. So I agree that this is an unknown, but if it does go through, the Moores serve to have economic remuneration for that. So in light of that, and in light of the terrific outpouring of unhappiness about breaking up the Horse District, is there any chance that the Moores would consider at first blush, before going to trying to sell three lots, would they consider breaking it into two? I think there would be people who would be much more attracted and buy it for more money to have a piece of property on which more horses. I'm a veterinarian by training. I've retired. I have a racetrack farm. I would not have more than one horse on 3 acres myself. They need more space. They need grass. They need room. You need to be able to get the manure out of there. You have two or three horses on 3 acres. It's just not as healthy for anybody. So I would just ask a consideration rather than jump to doing the most possible, possibly with the funding that could come from the Conservancy and, I believe, getting more money and a much better use of that beautiful property in dividing it into two rather than making it into three, having to have that driveway, having to make special, considerations. So I thank you for listening, and I wish the Moores the best of luck, but it would really be wonderful if we could preserve as much of our wonderful Aiken Horse District as we can. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Yes. It's short. Hi, I'm Jacqueline Nordstrom, and I own 618 Magnolia. I can speak somewhat about the difficulty it is to put a piece of property back together again once it's been chopped up and subdivided. It's nearly impossible. It takes a long time. You have to wait out the people that own the other properties. You generally overpay, and then you can proceed to restore. Once property is cut up, the barns get turned into houses. That'll be a little subdivision with no room for horses. Horses need turnout. That looks like a piece of Swiss cheese. I don't think you could get a conservation easement on that on an FBAT. Surely there's got to be a better way if they want to, you know, if they need the money. Sorry about that. But that's not going to sustain anybody for very long, selling off two little jaggedy lots. Thank you.
Anyone else? Last chance.
Good evening. My name is Deanna Carroll. I'm an attorney, and I've been retained by some neighbors. I'm also a resident of Aiken. I have an Aiken County property, 46 acres, that I renovated also. And so we are, lots of us, doing it. And my business address is 107 Pendleton Street, Northwest, Aiken, South Carolina, 29801. That's downtown, too. I applaud the progress that's been made from the prior application that was made. However, it feels like this is still not done. It feels like an application that is as yet incomplete. Even now, on the city's property records, it still reflects an acreage in this property of 8.67 and or 8.96 or 8.97 acres. So that is on your records. On your records, there isn't 9 acres. When Haas and Hildebrandt previously surveyed this property, to my best understanding, they surveyed it as less than 9 acres. There are at least 2 points on this property that don't appear to be usable at all. The intersection of Grace and Whiskey, and there's also another little corner that's the same. Doesn't take much when you're at 9.04 or 5 acres to become less than 9 acres. Now, I'm not trying to be a nitpicker. I'm not trying to make it hard for these folks. But you have an important fiduciary duty. You heard this time and you heard last time from people about how terribly the horse district, the RSS area, is to the people of Aiken, how financially important it is, how it draws people, how it brought me here. I didn't move into that district, but I fell in love with it. It's the heart of the city. So when you make a decision, and you're not just making a setback decision, you are deciding, it says so in your resolution, that you are subdividing and you're setting back. And if they don't have 9 acres, they can't do that administratively. So you are making a much larger, much more significant decision than this much. It's not this much. It's the character. It's the heart. It's the personality. It's the financial core of this city that you're making a decision on. You're setting a precedent for the future. This is not something that you do frequently. This is something that is usually done by zoning appeals. But you're having to deal with it today, and it is not something that you should rush to judgment on. You have an opportunity to do a great thing with this property. There's room for conditions to do this the right way. There appears to be an attitude of cooperation to want to do the right thing. But promises are lovely and intentions are good. But the road to hell is paved with good intentions. What you need to have to fulfill your duty is assurances that these things will actually occur. It is more than the fact that there is a variance. The fact that there is a variance involved certainly gives you some additional liberties about placing conditions. But you also have that this is a non, that one of the parcels has a non-conforming use, and it's a non-compliant property. That allows you some additional liberties, too, to consider what conditions need to be placed to assure that this property fulfills your duties to sustain the ordinance that you're charged to implement. I would say in terms of some very specific things that you must know before you try to take any kind of vote, which I would suggest to you you shouldn't take today. You should make sure that you know exactly what you're voting on. Haas and Hildebrandt needs to go back and put that driveway on. They don't have the wall on there. I don't know how many other features aren't on there. Do you even know what it is you would be voting on? I would suggest to you you don't. Until they get their application complete and correct and you're fully satisfied that you understand it, I would suggest you shouldn't even take the vote. But to the extent that you might decide that you needed to, or to the extent you're going to need to go back and work on the resolution to make sure that it does comply, I would suggest there is a specific area we absolutely have to get out there. In this moment, the memorandum addressing it says, it provides to you two possible motions. I would suggest to you that denial would be appropriate at this time, or tabling until you really do absolutely know that you're dealing with a nine-acre parcel, you know what the conditions are. The conditions are defined very specifically and not in generalized way, that you have a fully developed conservation easement or similar conditions that can give you some real assurances of being able to protect this critically important resource. But also, specifically, it says that there is a, the motion for approval would allow a 3-foot setback. That is not correct. That's not even what they're asking for, to my understanding. What it should say instead is a 7.42-foot setback. Is that correct?
We've addressed that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we just, you know, want to make sure that we don't inadvertently vote on something. You have proposed here a couple of conditions, and I applaud the conditions. I think they should be more fully developed. The first one is that easements be granted sufficient to allow perpetual access to all parcels sharing a common driveway. I would add to that that no additional access is be granted. You also have a second condition that a covenant be recorded on all properties sharing a common driveway sufficient to provide for perpetual maintenance of said driveway. Absolutely, you know, true that that's necessary if you come to a place where you actually can vote knowingly with full information to approve this. And I would suggest you would want a true and correct depiction of what that driveway would be, how big it would be, where it would go. I think you also need to know that it meets specifications such that, you know, fire and emergency vehicles be able to get onto the properties in the back and make sure that they can be protected. This doesn't do this right now. I would also add that as this is a non, I mean, maybe Ryan has said it, and maybe that's just so. And if this is the case, that this is the rule, then it doesn't need to be in here. But it also means it doesn't hurt if it is in here, that there won't be allowed any additional non-conforming uses to this property. If that's what they got to do it in, if they have to do that anyway, if that's what I heard the answer was, then who's it going to hurt to write it down? Not going to hurt anybody. If that's the law, then the law is the law. If it's written there, if it's written someplace else, if it's written twice, it's not going to hurt anyone. In short, I think that the way that it's been laid out now sounds interesting, sounds provocative, sounds like it could be a success story, but it's much, much too speculative right now. Let's get the details down. The devil is in the details. If, in fact, they don't have 9 acres, they couldn't come and do it administratively. You couldn't do it either. You'd both be non-compliant. Let's have some real assurances that they actually have the land in order to be able to comply using this plan. Let's get some of the wonderful things they're talking about in place and know that they actually have to be done by condition. I'm not questioning the integrity of these people. They sound sincere. But what if they own this property for another 10 years or 15 years or 20 years? What if the property gets sold by, you know, the administrator of their estate? Who doesn't know we came in here? Who doesn't know we crossed our hearts and swore that there'd be conservation easements, that things that would be done in order to protect the character of the community? So I would suggest to you, you are not ready to vote on this today. Table it. Let's develop it. Let's make it into something we can be proud of. If it doesn't meet the requirements of the ordinance, deny it. Thank you.
One minor point, I think the wall is on here.
So the wall is shown on this plan.
I think this line here running down, you know what I'm saying? Bill, is that right? I think the wall is shown on the plat. If you look at the plat and read the plat correctly, I think the wall is there. Okay, anybody else?
I have a couple of questions, actually, if I can address them. Mike McCormick, 324 Grace Avenue. In the setting of conditions, I mean, essentially you have a number of common elements. Where property lines abut each other, walls, driveways, things of that nature, and they're not really contemplated in any of the conditions. Was any consideration given to any of those features in any of the work sessions or anything?
It's their property to divide as they will, and that's what they. And I know what you're saying because I've walked the property. I've walked the entire property, corner to corner, around the outbuildings, around the stables. And yes, the property lines go through steps, but there's not going to be, you know.
It's just a question whether any consideration was given to it. I guess it's either yes or no.
Well, I think that consideration was given with the last application, but right now they've divided it the way.
They want to do it.
They want to do it.
Okay. And they met the requirements of the code.
Right.
That's fine. I'm not questioning any of that. And then for the access driveway, when you subdivide a property, these are all served by utilities that I guess are owned by the Moors. So is there going to be a utility or grading or construction access easements granted? Because once it's subdivided, they can certainly have the deeds transferred. So if those issues aren't considered in any restrictive covenants or requirements, it seems like that could be problematic in the future and lead to potential disputes among future owners. So that might be something you might want to consider, and I guess you guys might want to consider.
Yeah.
Because if I were going to buy it, I would want to know I had rights to install utilities. Certainly you have to conform with the relevant utilities requirements and what have you.
You sure?
Oh, you mean like if you wanted to put in cable or
water?
Whatever, water. Or...
Yeah. I mean, you got to install a water meter, so you have to run potentially a water line or things of that nature.
So that was,
I guess, one thing. And then I also had a question. If it's approved, is there a particular time to record and perfect the approval by recordation? You guys are a recommending body, but if council approved this...
No.
In this case, we are not a recommending body.
Okay.
We are the body.
Okay, so if it's approved, can it linger out there for the next 20 years?
Well, can what linger?
The approval before it's a recorded document.
Before they record the plat?
Yeah.
I have no idea when they would record the plat.
I mean, can it...
We're not requiring necessarily that the plat be recorded.
But I'm not an attorney in South Carolina. If I went, I'm from Pennsylvania. And I'm a real estate developer in Pennsylvania. If I got an approval from a town council, I have 1 year usually to record those and perfect those approvals. Otherwise, they're null and void. So I don't know.
Not aware of any restriction like that around here.
Mr. Chair, there is a vesting rights act, so it's a 2 year period per state law.
Okay.
For subdivision approvals.
Okay.
But it's in our land development regulations.
So 2 years they would have to record it?
Correct, and there can be extensions requested based on that at the end of those 2 years. But yeah, two years is the vesting rights on a subdivision. Well, so here's what it says: pursuant to South Carolina, so vesting rights is hereby established for 2 years upon the approval of the site-specific development plan. So in this case, yeah, that would be it.
It's part of it.
Is that how you word it?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's on my head.
Thanks.
Thank you. Okay. Come on up. Come on down.
Barbara Price. I live at 223 Trafalgar. I'm an architect and a planner, and I have some experience and training in reading these documents. Just so, point of clarification, the wall is not delineated on this plat. It's not a legend. It's a boundary survey. It's shown, and I just would like to state that for the record, that is, the wall is not shown on the plat.
I'm not sure. It looks like it, but...
That's a property line.
It even looks double. When it gets down to Whiskey Road, it even looks...
That's because Whiskey Road has a curve. That is showing the...
The curbing
there. It's not showing the wall.
I got you.
The wall is a really important element for this piece of property, and it really should be shown on there for the record. So, yeah.
They built the wall.
I love the wall. Yeah. You know, I recently walked the property. It's a beautiful wall. I just think their plat needs to be correct. The plat's not correct. That's an element that's not there. And there was some statement that it was shown, and I just, for the record, want to say that it's not, and would recommend that, you know, that what is filed shows it, because it's such an important part and critical to the community to make sure that it's maintained.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you.
And Mr. Chair, just for clarification, that in consideration of the variance, it doesn't necessarily get the surveyor or the applicant out of including things on a plat that we would normally require. So any features on that, it says in our planning development regulations that land development regulations that all features would need to be shown. So there would be additional review on that. Same way with utility easements, if they were necessary, that those technical items would be typically reviewed administratively, would still be reviewed administratively.
Right.
So is that something that should be added as a condition about the utility easements? Utility and construction easements for future?
Is it the pleasure of the board to put that on there? We would request anything like that that would be necessary, that is common for to see in a plat prior to staff having the authority to stamp anything. Mm-hmm. So that is standard procedure. But if the board would feel more comfortable with including something like that as a condition of approval, you can absolutely do so.
Okay.
Chairman? Mr. Chairman, may I ask the city attorney a question?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Smith, I was wondering if you could speak to the potential legal issues, if any, of what's alleged to be in our books that would be under 9 acres versus the most recent survey, which was 9.8 acres and above. Are there legal issues therein?
The plat prepared by Hass and Hildebrand has been prepared by a professional engineer. Correct? And I don't have the ability to say that he did it wrong. And so if Hass and Hildebrand has put their stamp on there, then they say that they have complied with their regulations before they have put their stamp of approval onto the plat. The only way that could be overcome is if there were litigation involved between the Moores and whoever else wanted to challenge the validity of that plat. I don't think the city's in the business of challenging the validity of plats.
No, certainly not, and certainly not us.
Right.
The litigation, it might become a factual issue that some court might have to rule on, but we're not there yet.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody else?
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, Mr. Tucker, you want to... Oh, let's finish up.
That'd be great.
Either one of y'all. Go on up and sit up front, one of you, and wait for the other one. You don't have to walk it again.
Janet Branson, and I am the next-door neighbors, of the Moores. I, of course, oppose this whole situation, but it's very simplistically, it seems to me, if there are 9 acres and their house, which was built on the old Grace estate, would be 3 acres, then wouldn't that only leave two more parcels to be developed? And then thirdly, if there are 3 parcels on that property, there would be essentially 6 horses, and the stable is there, but where are these horses going to have a paddock? You just can't leave them in the stables 24 hours a day. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice, I think. But that is my complete opposition. I think it destroys the neighborhood. I think it destroys the character of the neighborhood and the basic integrity of what the horse district is. And I feel very strongly about it. I think it would be a terrible mistake to go ahead and approve this property and development. And that's all I have to say. Regardless of walls and lines and everything else, it still only leaves 9 acres. Their house has to be 3 acres. And then the other 2 developments.
Are 6 acres.
That's it. Thank you.
Charlotte Weedman, 626 Hayne Avenue. I've heard a lot of talk about, checking through do we meet these little bullet points A through E? And so it's a very much a breeze through of them, but I want to look at it from the opposite side of why, in whatever it says here, the variance criteria. So under A, granting of the variance will not be detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare. Our history is built around these winter colony estates, and we all know how important, one, tourism dollars are for us, and then also the equine industry is for us. So if I see granting a variance and taking a historic estate that was built by one family as a single family property, yeah, I see that as a loss of what makes Aiken unique and part of our characteristic that brings in the equine dollars and the tourism. So I give it a no on A. And then the next, the request for the variance is based on particular conditions of size, shape, or topography, which are generally not applicable to other properties. Well, I keep hearing that, oh, this makes sense, but yet architectural features are divided because that allows them to hit the 3-acre parcels. Instead of keeping things together like brick walkways and balustrades and walls and buildings, they get divided just so it can meet that we hit 3 acres and we have this minor variance. So no, that doesn't fit. The next one, strict compliance would impose a particular hardship and not a mere inconvenience. We've heard that there is another option for dividing the 9 acres into three acre long parcels. And so I don't really understand how following the letter of the ordinance and complying with the setback would be a particular hardship. The next, the variance will not violate the provisions of any other ordinance. I'm a little iffy on that one because I've not gotten a real good sense that there aren't questions about what the setbacks will be, how the accessory buildings are going to relate to the square footage of the main residence sizes. Once the driveway is in place, wherever it is, will it conform with the setbacks? And then also, under South Carolina code, what is the correct precedent for lot size? Is it calculated? Is it recorded? Or is it what's assessed? Because currently the Moores are being assessed on 8 acres. So then we would be talking 3 divisions of 8. And then the last, the request is not solely to alleviate a financial hardship. And I keep hearing a lot of talk about a crystal ball, and we don't know what's going to be in the future. So then I ask you, if this is not to alleviate a financial hardship, what's the reason for doing it if we don't know what the future is going to be? Why not leave the property as it is?
Anybody else?
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Tucker, you wanted to say something else?
I was looking forward to seeing what the opponents of the project would come up with since we took the acreage size off the table, and they haven't disappointed me. First, let me suggest to you, and I think Mr. Smith and Chairman Hunter would agree, that what the tax records show for acreage is not authoritative. What's authoritative is a recorded deed, and the deed that was prepared by Mr. Hunter's law firm in 1985 for Andy Williams shows 9.04 acres.
1980. When Andy Williams
they bought it in 85, but in any event, the 9.04 acres is the stated acreage in the deed of the vesting deed into Bill and Simi Moore. I actually have the original deed.
You know it because I hadn't.
No, but I'm just saying that, and I think Gary's interpretation was correct, that until we're proven otherwise, we have to assume that a licensed professional surveying firm is going to create an accurate thing. Of course, the techniques have become better in 35 years. The equipment and the GPS, everything has made it. So we always have variations in old acreages versus what it is, but I'm satisfied that we have now achieved the correct acreage. So that's not something that you need to concern yourself with. I have no problem with the walls being added to the survey that is before it's recorded. I have no problem with the driveway being added. The Moores don't have a problem with that. I think, and I need to address the suggestion to you that they're in this for some kind of financial reward or compensation for the conservation easement. As many of you know, the conservation easement many times has a tax benefit, which is for the diminution in value between the value of the property without the conservation easement and the value of the property with the conservation easement imposed. And you get a tax deduction to the Land Conservancy or whoever, whatever agency or organization is holding the easement. In this case, I don't expect there to be much of any financial benefit, if at all. The appraisal hasn't been done yet, but I'd be very surprised if there's much of a difference between the before and the after. And that's not the motivation of the Moores in seeking this approval. And all of this stuff that you've heard, the fact of the matter is lost, that the Moores are trying to do this to perpetuate what is there, to preserve the status quo, to preserve the integrity of the buildings and the landscaping elements of the Grace Estate as it's existed since it was constructed in the late 20s and early 30s. They have a 30-plus year track record of historic preservation. They won historic preservation awards from Dr. Wiedemann's, the organization that she's the chairman of, or president of right now, for their work on the Kershaw cottages. They won awards for the restoration of the Cotton Exchange on Reynolds Street in downtown Augusta. These are not money-grubbing land barons. These are preservationists at heart, and I'm really disappointed that people can't see beyond that in what we're trying to achieve. But this hysteria over what is going to happen in the destruction of the historic district, I would suggest to you it's just the opposite. This is a creative way to ensure its integrity and its preservation for the future. The fact of the matter is there are a lot of other properties in the historic district and the Horse District that are either for sale or will be for sale, and the market for them is pretty slim. I talked to a lady that owns a historic property that's for sale, hasn't had a showing since last July. And so the reality of the world is that it's going to be increasingly hard to perpetuate a nine-acre parcel with 17 buildings on it for a single owner. And this is a creative way to increase ownership, get away from tenancy, and see that it stays the way it is for as long as we can possibly do it. And so I would call you back to the attention that you should be on, and that is you're here to approve. We've already got the acreage. You're here to approve the variance request. And the details, I agree, it's not all with us tonight, but there will not be a conveyance to anybody without the correct restrictive covenants in place. We certainly intend to pursue the conservation easement, which I would expect to be done in the next few months. It takes time to develop the appraisal and all the documentation. And all this is going to be put in place. And I will also say that the Moore's intention would be to seek a single buyer if they ever get around to when they want to sell the property. That would be their first stop. But they want to have the flexibility of being able to offer options to people that might be potentially interested in this property when they are no longer able to own it. And so I would ask you to keep your eye on the ball and to give us a decision on what's before you tonight, and that is the small variance request between two auxiliary buildings that are on this property. Thank you.
Mr. Tucker, may I ask you a question?
Sure.
One of the tough things sometimes about being a planning commissioner is that perhaps you may not agree with what an applicant's intent is and what their plan is, but you know they could bypass you and do something that would be more distasteful if they chose to do so. So, for example, maybe a year or two ago we had an applicant who wanted to have a zoning change, and some of the neighbors came forward and said, well, we don't want the zoning change because then he's going to get out there with a chainsaw and he's going to cut down this wooded buffer. Well, they were unaware that the current zoning, the guy could go out with a chainsaw today and cut the buffer down. With the new zoning, he actually couldn't do that.
Right.
So in a loose analogy, I was wondering if you could perhaps speak to what you mentioned earlier in that maybe there's some elements in this plan that I'm not fully comfortable with, but I'm keenly aware that they could come back with something that would be more distasteful to me and opponents of this particular project, bypass us, do what they wanted, and they can do that if they want. You said that there was a potential...
There's another version of the plan that basically draws two straight lines from Magnolia Street back to Whiskey Road that still gets you the 3-acre required minimum.
Which would have no notion of compliance to walls and walkways and paddocks and things like that. They could do that.
They could do
bypass
that.
Bypass us.
And it would be administratively approved, and there'd be no reason for this variance request that's before you right now.
Okay.
But it would not be appealing to anybody. It would be, I call it the nuclear option, because it's not something that is anybody wants to do. And they chose to do the hard way to preserve the architectural elements that are there on the property that make it such an important historic property. So there is another version, but it's not something that anybody wants to see.
And just for clarification, they could do that administratively. Bypass us, and essentially put something on the table that I think would be more distasteful for many people.
Right.
Is that, would you agree with that, Counselor?
Yes,
that,
I would.
Okay.
Yeah, it would decimate the gardens, too. So.
Again, that's probably one of the more difficult aspects of being on a commission like this is knowing that things could be worse.
And I'm not, I don't want to question Mrs. Branson's math, but I'm not sure I quite understood how she came up with that. But I think she's presuming that the main house parcel, which I'd call the southeastern quadrant, would have horses. The contemplation is that there would not be any stables constructed on that parcel. That's part of the conservation easement. That there would not be a stable on that property. So, which is backing up from what was talked about in December, where the goal was to try to preserve and increase equestrian use for the neighborhood. But that's one of the casualties of reconfiguring it the way we've done.
Thank you, Mr. Tuffer.
Thank you.
One thing you might want to keep in mind, and I don't know that we're going to have an answer for you tonight, Bill, is this time element about the
I don't
recording.
Think there's a problem if it's 2 years. I think
I don't think there is, but that's and the you know just I, you heard them.
My point is I'm not planning to go out and record a survey
right
tomorrow or the next day.
Right.
I don't think there's any rush to do that until we have it finalized and we have the historic conservation easement in place and the restrictive covenants in place, if there's even
and of course the conservation easement, as you know, that can tie up property too in other ways.
It
so
does.
I mean, if they're willing to do that, that's
I think
that's
between,
good. But
between the conservation easement and the design review board for any alterations,
yeah,
that would have to be made to any of the structures. There are lots of protections for the.
And by way of disclosure, you mentioned in 1980, our law firm closed it
for Andy Williams
when Andy Williams bought it from the Grace Patricia Corey Grace that group,
right,
and. He was in the office, and of course everybody was gathered around, and he hummed a few bars of Moon River. I'll never forget that. Hummed a few bars of Moon River, and left and never saw him in Aiken again, hardly.
We saw him at EJ's one night.
Every now and then he'd drift into town. But,
right. Right. Any other questions? I'm happy to answer any other questions that you may have.
Thank you for your
consideration.
So, if we decided to do this, one more question. The approval to allow perpetual access to all parcels, including construction and utility vehicles sharing that common driveway, that would...
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Yes, sir. You want to say something briefly? Please make it brief. I think we've heard about everything in the world here.
David Trachtenberg, 215 Dupree Place, live at a house called Sandhurst. I just want to clarify one thing. I keep hearing that it's hard to sell a big property. And I understand you're making a decision based on other things, but let's be honest here. There are plenty of big properties that have sold over the years here. We particularly bought Sandhurst, which is next to Hopkins Gardens. It was on the market for a long time, but it's the right owner that comes up who transforms it lovingly and brings it back to the community. So the fact is that you could actually do that, even if it takes a long time. That's not a financial hardship. That is investing in the community, not destroying it. Thank
right.
you.
Okay. That's what the Moors have done.
Yeah, again, that to me, the financial considerations are not really really relevant here to our decision. Okay. What does the commission want to do?
I'd like to make a motion.
Before that, can we suspend the rules for
okay.
a quick discussion?
Okay. You move to suspend?
Second.
Approved? In favor? Opposed? Okay, so we'll suspend the rules briefly. You have a short discussion.
I just have a question for all of us to think about. We've heard a lot about this wall tonight. So if we were to make a motion, what would you all think about adding something in there that there would be no additional access granted on Grace Avenue other than the driveway in the suggested variance would be that the easements be granted to sufficiently allow the both parcels or all three parcels to share that common driveway? Could we put something in there that would prohibit the additional access to Grace Avenue being, or the wall being taken or cut open? just a discussion item.
Well, actually, if you look at the property, there's just not anywhere that would be a logical extra access on Grace Avenue. And there's no need for an extra access on Grace Avenue. I mean, it's just...
I agree. I don't mind
restricting it. I don't mind putting that in there. No further access to Grace Avenue, 20-foot wide driveway, all-weather surface, existing wall remain in place. No, make that part of the motion.
I just heard some concern out there about that additional entrance or potential entrance down the road, and which that would have to go to the design review board anyway.
It would. They're not going to grant another. I can't imagine they would grant another access to Grace, frankly. But
it's sort of a moot point because it's one. There's no place to put it. Not with what they have planned. I mean, there's just no place to put it. The existing driveway, and I do mean it's very wide, because it's not wide enough for a car to go out of and come into at the same time, because that's what happened when I visited the property. I was going out, a car came in, so it's wide enough for two cars, so that's plenty wide. The surface of it is maintained as a hard surface. It's not loose gravel, but it's like that.
Of course, asphalt.
Yeah. So we can put that in there, but I just think it's redundant.
Just want to bring it up.
All right. Other comments? Okay, I want to make a motion, Mr. Beasley, to reopen it.
Yes, I'll move to
formally open up.
Approve. In favor? Okay, is there a motion?
I'd like to make a motion.
Yes, ma'am.
I would like to make a resolution that we approve on the minor subdivision application number 18-400-04 that at 215 Grace Avenue, that we hereby conditionally grant a variance from section 3.4.2 of the zoning ordinance, allowing for a minimum setback of an accessory building to 7.42 feet, with the following conditions. The variance will be granted subject to the following conditions: that easements be granted sufficient to allow perpetual access to all parcels sharing a common driveway, and which would include construction and utility vehicles for future owners, and two, that a covenant be recorded on all properties sharing that common driveway sufficient to provide for perpetual maintenance of said driveway.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion.
Mr. Chair, did I hear or not hear Mr. Bestley's amendment?
He didn't make an amendment.
It wasn't an amendment. It was
potential,
only for discussion.
He was throwing it out.
Potential amendment.
He was throwing it out.
Suggestion.
Okay.
It was just a suggestion for consideration discussion.
Okay. And I'm just verifying.
You can make an amendment to my motion.
I will make...
If you want to add something.
You will need to make the amendment.
Okay.
I would like to add Mr. Bestley's potential amendment about no further access granted to said property off of Grace Avenue.
You will, and to amend?
Yes.
Is there a second to the amendment?
Second.
All in favor of the amendment? Opposed? Okay. So, here we are, as amended. All in favor of the motion as amended. Right hand up. Opposed? Like sign. Okay, unanimous. Really good. No, we got another one. We've got one more here to do. I'd like to adjourn, but unfortunately, let's do this last one. 3F, application number 18-20011, request for annexation. This is a proposal, an application from our own city of Aiken to take in the... Yes, sir.
These individuals. So.
Okay. Get you out of here.
Yeah. At this point, it's late.
You want to get a few
more minutes?
Yes. Okay, this is the request from the city to annex the Quimby Highway North US 1 from Aldrich Street to Northside Park, and taking in the Northside Park with a proposed zoning of RS-15. Anybody want to talk about that, the pros to that, or anybody in favor of that? Want to say anything, Mr. Smith? I assume the city's in favor of it. The city makes it.
This was by the request of the city council and the city manager, passed on first reading. The ordinance was passed on first reading at the last city council meeting, and then brought to you for any further recommendations. The main purpose of this is to allow the city to be able to annex the upcoming or soon to be built Northside Park. The annexation of this highway is very similar to the annexation that the city did a few years ago of Whiskey Road, where the city annexed Whiskey Road. Portions of it were already in the city, but it was from Pine Log Road all the way to Latha Church Road. The annexation, you've seen a document, I think, today that came from a citizen or somebody that we do not know, but questioning the veracity of that annexation, and I've been very upfront with City Council. If SCDOT were to contest this annexation, the annexation would probably lose, provided that SCDOT contested the annexation within the statutory time frame, which requires them to file an objection within 60 days of passage by City Council. They did not do that on Whiskey Road, and the Whiskey Road annexation has only allowed annexation of properties along Whiskey Road who voluntarily wanted to annex where contiguity would not otherwise be established by next-door neighbor's property. Okay. And as I understand it right now, the city's only purpose in doing this is to be able to annex the city park so that it will be within the city limits when it is built.
And I assume that you or the city will forward to DOT and start the time limit running. And if
we'll always do that,
60
yeah.
days. And
if they object, we'll be stuck with that.
We'll be stuck.
That's so the right. intent of the city is not to use this in any sort of manner to encourage or people to annex their property into the city.
Your city attorney cannot
No.
I don't have the ability to override the vote of City Council.
There you go.
Okay, but I've told City Council that with our new annexation policy with the water use, when property trades hands, you know, if the property is contiguous, then they have to annex in order to get their water service. And with this type of annexation, I've told them I don't think it's appropriate to use the roadway to require that annexation.
Right. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
So far, I believe they're okay with that policy, but councils can change. So,
Mr. Smith, in this mystery package that we received as well,
yes,
as you've heard about, one person who sent us that quotes a South Carolina statute that allows a municipal law enforcement agency to enforce the laws in a property that's owned by the city but not contiguous to the city.
Right.
Are you aware of that?
The first time I've seen it was tonight.
Okay.
And so I hate to sit here and tell you we can rely on that, because I just saw it when I walked into the room, and you know I was late for the work session. But it's certainly something I'll look into.
Because, I mean, that would throw out the airport. That would throw out
right.
the reservoir. I mean, a lot of different areas
correct.
That we've traditionally never had
correct.
That. So that might be something that goes back to council.
I will certainly look at that, and I'll report back to Ryan so he can let you guys know.
Thanks. It's certainly a good idea for the city, for it to be annexed into the city.
Yes.
Nobody would argue with that. However, we have to do it.
All right.
Is there a motion?
Yes, sir.
We got, yes, sir. You want to talk, say something about it? I'm sorry, I didn't see anybody, so I was just moving on here.
My name is Dale Brantley, and I own the property, part of the property that borders the north side of Northside Park.
The golf course? Or the driving range?
All around the golf course.
Okay.
I I'm looking for Aldrich Street Northeast on these maps.
Crossing Park. Go back. Go down to Crossing Park and see the yellow. See the yellow thing. Track that down to where it hits Crossing Park.
Yes.
That's Aldrich, basically.
That is Aldrich. Okay. Thank you.
What's up? Anybody else?
Okay, we have a motion.
Yes, sir.
Richard Turner, I represent the 130 acres adjacent south of the park. So this will just be road, no road frontage for bikes, pedestrians, anything that matters.
You mean what the city is annexing?
Yes.
It's my understanding it's the right-of-way, Gary, but I don't know.
Whatever's within the right-of-way is being annexed.
Okay.
So that would include power poles as they're going down the highway. I mean, if you see power poles going down the highway, they're in the right-of-way. If you see sidewalks going down the highway, they're in the right-of-way.
Okay. So businesses that have that, will they be taxed in the city?
No.
Just the right-of-way itself, not the property outside
the
right-of-way.
I'm coming in the city here.
Okay.
All right.
Good question. I don't blame him.
Sir, could you give us your name, please?
Richard Turner.
Know the feeling.
Ken Men.
Skylinger, 1457 Columbia Highway. I own the property right across from Fastenal. And I went out and took a look at that, and it's, if I'm not the first piece of property that they want it right away on, I'm right there with the first or second. Now, when it comes to the right-of-way, all right, I talked to people. I said, well, you know, what's that going to entail? Well, they can do anything they want to do. And I said, well, I don't think they can do anything they want to do. But knowing my property, you guys don't know my property. Okay, you know where Fastenal is? Okay. If you look out Fastenal's door, straight across the road, that's me. If I look out my door, I see the road. It goes like this. Okay. If I took a look, I have to weed whack that. You can't mow it, okay? And the city doesn't maintain it, believe it or not. I do, or the county doesn't. If you get on that hill is about 60 degrees, not 45. It's about 60. You can't walk up the hill. You have to shush like you're going up a hill in a snowpack, okay? Water comes down that hill, rainwater. Rainwater comes from the back property.
This bunch of stuff right here. I don't even know who owns this. I'd love to find out. But that piece of property right there. Rainwater comes off from him,
goes around my property, my house, and to prove the point that there is an issue there, there are two city rainwater drains on my property on the front. One
cities.
City. County.
I would imagine they're either county or DOT.
Yeah.
Probably DOT.
Is it?
Probably.
Well, there's two of them there, and believe me, in the rain they keep full. Mm-hmm. So all I'm saying is in the right of way, if you're going to make a sidewalk or you're going to...
We're not doing anything with that right of way right now. The city's not making any plans to do anything with that right of way right now, I do not believe. They're not talking about doing a sidewalk yet.
You're just asking me to say, okay, cool. Well, do I have an option later on? I mean, if there, say you wanted to put a bike path in there to get out to the park.
That's a state highway.
State highway.
And before a state highway, if we can do anything to a state highway, DOT's got to do the plans and approve and everything else. Have you seen how long it's taken them to do Silver Bluff Road?
I see how long
it takes a long. You may not be alive by the time they do Silver Bluff Road.
I was working three guys walking.
Hold my breath.
It takes forever.
Okay, so that's the state, all right?
Yes, sir.
So when it comes to that, what do they do the same procedure that you guys are doing here? I mean, where I have that kind of a...
They have public form. Meetings. They have public meetings. If they're going to change anything on that highway, typically they'll have a public meeting.
In Columbia or here?
Usually they do it in the location where the change is being done.
All right.
And I'm assuming, Gary, I don't know that the city's annexing this. Does that mean the city's responsible for maintaining it?
No.
The state's still...
The city's not the owner of the property.
Gotcha. All right.
Thanks.
Excuse me, everybody. My name is Ron Felder. My property is 1623 Clement Highway North. Appreciate you guys approving that while back last year. I guess my question here, are you the planning on changing this from an RUD to a residential area? That's my question for the city.
The sole purpose of zoning, we're zoning a residential, correct?
RS.
That's just because parks are allowed in that zoning classification. That's the only reason they requested to have it zoned that way.
Okay. Because the last thing I was...
The only zoning being affected by this request is the Port Northside Park property.
Is that yellow, sir, that yellow square, that's it, or rectangle.
Correct. Oh, so... But it has nothing to do with tax increase for the property that's out there?
Nope. I mean, you're not in the city, correct?
Not now, but maybe.
Right. You don't know when you are, but you're not yet. So you don't have any impact at all on your taxes.
Okay. Well, thanks. Appreciate it.
Yes. Okay, anybody else? All right. You have a motion?
Somebody make a motion, yes.
I'll make a motion.
Make a motion.
National application 18-20011, an annexation request. On top tax parcels 119, 1601, 001, 002, 003, and 004, and 120-20-01-002. Requested by the City of Aiken to annex. Let me make sure I'm getting the right verbiage here. US 1 or York Street, I don't know how I should...
Columbia Highway North.
Columbia Highway North. From the current city limits all the way to, as designated on this map, which is just north of Duke Drive, referencing this parcel. Is that significant enough?
Extending to the Northside Park.
Yes.
And the Northside Park.
And putting in the Northside Park, proposed RS 15.
Second. Okay. All in favor? Opposed, like sign? Passed unanimously. Okay, we are adjourned.
You have a vote on that?
I'm not voting on it.
I'll see who's waiting on that.
I'm going to see.